You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Game of Shows.
Right, so that was episode 4, done and dusted. Can you believe we're on to episode 4 already?
I can't believe it.
Victor Meldrew.
I'm overwrought. Yeah, I'm overjoyed. I'm overwrought. Wow. I'm overacting.
4 episodes. But I was saying to you earlier, it's in the podcast, it feels like we're doing 2 podcasts in one, doesn't it? We've got like our little bonus, which is obviously this now. And then we've got the quiz. So we've actually done 8 now, which is amazing.
I think the nice thing about that is that we do actually get the chance to kind of sit and kind of just talk about the actors we're you know getting to interview and the shows, because obviously the quiz is takes up the whole episode, so
yeah.
I would feel like if we didn't do the bonus where we get the chance to reveal our little chats with the guys themselves, that the audience was really missing out on something kind of you know equal value of that sort of thing, because you know chatting to them about who they are, what they do is almost as much fun as you know, asking them questions and trying to catch them out.
Yeah, definitely. The hardest bit is trying to keep it down to like a minimum time, isn't it? We're always conscious of not taking up too much of their time.
Yeah. Chris is always texting me during it saying, you've got to speed it up. Hurry up. You're going too slowly.
Hurry up.
You know, it's midnight now. Stop, Lawrence.
But it is. It's hard because you've got so many questions. Like last week you said with Melissa, there were so many questions that you wanted to ask her and you'd never got around. And it's same with the guys tonight. I mean, There's so much you could ask them, but it's what I loved about tonight is having Stuart, because I've worked with Stuart, so it was so nice to like talk to him and have him on the podcast.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way about Alice, because she and I go back a long way. I've known her probably best part of 20 years, and obviously just met Jenna and Laura tonight. You kind of have a real soft spot for people you've known a long time, but I mean, when you're like yourself, like doing shows and that sort of thing, you must meet so many people.
You do, and it's, do you know what it is? It like in a show, that's your world and that's your little bubble, and it's everything is kind of all about that show. And if you're in, you know, a year's contract, it feels very much that's all you can think about. And then you kind of leave the show and you realize that everyone kind of moves on, and you know, you do keep in touch, and obviously, you know, the industry is very small and people know everyone, and you bump into people on the audition circuit and you know, teaching and different things like that. But like Stuart, we shared digs and everything, and we used to travel together. We did a Vita UK tour together and then at the Dominion. So we worked together quite about a year in 2014.
Yeah.
And you're kind of living in each other's pockets, and then I haven't really seen him that much since. So it's really nice to kind of reconnect with him on here. It's lovely, yeah.
And I was also thinking about the kind of talking to them about both of their shows, really, in a way. It is hard for them to communicate what it's like. I mean, I suppose you must have had it when you were in Jersey Boys, kind of being part of something that is really kind of big, just being part of something big. I mean, I'm not a performer. I'm a composer and a lyricist, and I've worked on a lot of shows. I've never, not yet, worked on anything that I would say is really big. Mm. You know, like my shows are still charting the upward trajectory, but they're not kind of big West End shows. Yeah. If the universe is listening, then you know, maybe they will be eventually. But it must be quite amazing to be a part, or, you know, even a small part of something really huge. Did that kind of stay with you, even though it's, you know, you finish that show and you move on and you do another one? Or you,
I think these shows are always, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, but they do have a special place in your heart. Do you know what I mean? Like, because it is, as I was saying, it's an intense period that you're in the show. And, you know, I did Jersey Boys for 2 years and it was an unforgettable experience, you know, things that I will never forget doing that show. And equally doing Evita was the same, and doing like every show that you do, I think has that unique experience, and, you know, not always good, not always the best, but again, that is part of the process as well. I think being part of these big shows.
Game of shows.
Here's a question for you then. If you could MD any show now, I say you're going to do a year's run of it in the West End, what would that show be?
Do you know what? It would probably be something I could conduct and not play. Yeah. And I think it may well be Wicked, actually, because I think that would be a fantastic score to conduct. And occasionally I think, oh, do you know, would I want to try and get back in and do that? Because I kind of gave all that up while I was kind of in the ascendancy a little bit. Like I didn't go on an MD West End shows. I kind of stopped that and thought, no, I want to be a composer and I want to write. And that was partly because of that, wanting to be really involved in the creative process and not wanting to just be kind of repeating the same thing every night. But all Les Mis, I think, actually, the opportunity to go and MD Les Mis, I think, I was going to say any young MD, but I'm neither young nor an MD. But when I was young and thinking, do I want to do this? I would have loved to conduct like Les Mis or Phantom. I'd rather do that than something where you have to play. That's a lot of work.
Yeah. You know, you just want to stand and wave your stick.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wave your baton.
Yeah. Mm. What about yourself then? Because you're an erstwhile MD now as well as a performer. And
well, yeah, but if we're saying like perform, well, I told you about my dream that I was asked to MD Defying Gravity halfway through the show. That literally about 2 weeks ago, I had that dream and the MD had disappeared and I just happened to be there and then they put me on the stand and I had to MD into the end of
the dream, man.
Is there a conductor
in the house?
And I went, yes.
Yes, I can do it.
But I suppose if we're talking about parts, like what part, I've always since been at Mountview, it was when, actually we featured it in the episode tonight, Avenue Q was out was at Mountview. And it was one of my dream roles.
It was kind of the biggest thing then, wasn't it?
Like early I would just 2000s. Love to play Princeton. That's still my dream. I'm still on the cusp of being the right age, I think. Just if any producers, any producers out there, listen.
Yeah.
Yes, any producers. Cast me as Princeton.
Game of shows.
Right, Lawrence, as much as I could talk to you all night, I think our listeners probably want to hear what our four guests had to say when we had a little chat with them before the quiz.
Yeah, let's play it now. Let's have a listen to the kind of interview section of our night with the guys from Come From Away and Wicked. So this is what happened when Lawrence and Chris met Jenna, Laura, Stuart and Alice.
Game of shows.
Let's start with Alice Fern. Who Chris was just asking me earlier how I know Alice Fern. I just feel like I've known you forever. Like,
yeah, and actually, if you, how do we, what's the initial meeting?
Well, that? I think you were, I was teaching or MDing at Mountview when you were at Mountview. Okay. So that was
about how long ago that was.
Yeah, so that was, let's not talk about that. No. And then you were in Shrek when my eldest daughter was in Shrek.
That's of course.
Yeah, yes, yeah. And you were playing a woman in pink with a puppet gingerbread man.
Yes, with a gingerbread man attached to my right arm. Yes.
Yeah.
And
you haven't stopped working since. You've been.
I've done all right. I'm all right. I'm happy with it. Of course, not this year. But you know, it's yes, it was going. I love Shrek actually, and your daughter was actually extraordinary. It was so lovely because I actually know so many of those girls still. That played young Fiona's and whatnot, because obviously I was covering Amanda Holden for that, so I often went on with them.
Yes, and, you did. That's right. So you would have sung with Sophie.
Yes,
didn't you?
Of course. Yeah.
So obviously you are here tonight representing Come From Away, but we couldn't have you here and just not talk a little bit about Wicked. We've actually got double Elphaba in the house, which is quite incredible. It's been a while now, has it, since you stopped?
So it's not coming up to a year in July, when I finished.
You did it for a long time, didn't you?
Well, I had 3 years in total, but 2 years the role, yeah. So it was a good old chunk. I was relatively knackered by the end.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And it was a wonderful 2 years, yeah. And what was quite nice was all our sort of the cast, a lot of the people that I'd been performing with every night sort of left with me. So I quite, we sort of had a big leaving sort of ceremony in that sense. So it was quite nice that, because there's nothing worse than if I sort of left and then Sophie stayed and had a new Elfa bride, sort of feel a bit annoyed by that. I sort of feel like I've been taking my place. So it was quite nice that we shared that time together. But yeah, I mean, it's strange. It feels like it was yesterday, and yet it feels like it was 10 years ago, all at the same time.
And would you go back if the opportunity arose?
I just love to do 7 a week, though, and they just wouldn't allow you. Like, no, you're doing all 8. And I'm like, no, I'm not, because I'm nearly 40. And, you know, I shouldn't be doing that. So so I don't know if whether they would. I mean, of course, it's one of those roles that you just can't really say no to. So that's the only part of it. But it's how long you can play it for without looking ridiculous as a teenager.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I never thought of it like that. And did you follow Rachel Tucker into Wicked and then follow Rachel Tucker into Come From Away? So what's Rachel doing now?
Yeah, basically.
I just want to know what you're going to do next.
Yeah, just gone to Broadway, so I'm thrilled. basically, I think I call myself professional Rachel Tucker overtaker. I said that to her when she left, actually, Come From Away. I said, babe, I can't wait, I'm gonna be in Broadway next year, that's amazing. Because you're there next. Yes, I do tend to take over Rach, which is lovely, you know. And she's gorgeous, so it's never sort of makes me feel second best, which is just divine on her part, I have to say.
And Chris and I were talking about Come From Away today, just as we were kind of talking about this and researching a few things for some questions. And we both kind of said, I really want to see this show again. I really want to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a shame that people aren't getting to see it at the moment. It's such a great night in the theatre. And we're going to talk to your fellow cast member in a sec, but let's flip to the other alphabet in the room. Cause it's, if you've got two alphabet, you wait. That's the thing, isn't it, Chris? You wait all month for an Elphaba.
And then two come along at once.
And two come along at once. Yeah. Laura Pick, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
It's my pleasure.
I was going to say, how do you follow that? That's Alice Fearn, but you did follow that, Alice Fearn, then presumably into the role of Elphaba at the Apollo Victoria.
Yeah, and I was lucky enough to watch Alice for the majority of my first 2 years there.
Oh, wow. So you were in the show.
The stalls watching the show.
So you were a standby, were you?
I was Alice's standby. So I did it the opposite way. I was standby for 2 years, and I just took over in January.
You can tell me to sod off if I'm prying, but was that, did you always know that you had, like, did you just tell the producers, right, I want the part now? Or did you wait for them to offer or wait for them to ask? Or were you able to, like, slip notes saying, I really want to play this part now?
I'll do eight.
Did you say, Alice will only do 7, I'll do 8.
If only that was the deal, that would have been amazing. It's like Alice said, it's a very hard role to say no to, but it's also a role that I think you'd be mad to not want to play. And so it's a no-brainer. Somebody says, actually, would you like to be Elphaba for the rest of the contract? And you say, yes, please, and thank you. I will take that. It never occurred to me that it would have happened now.
Was it like a dream role? Because I know a lot of, you know, female in the industry, it's like a dream role for them to play Elphaba. Was it always on the cards?
Yeah, it was absolutely the dream, the absolute dream. And I just feel very lucky to be doing it so early on in my career, really. But since being 14 and getting given the soundtrack and the score for my birthday and just falling in love with it and singing it every week at stage school and
Wow, whereabouts did you grow up? Where was that?
I grew up in Wakefield, but I used to go to stage school in Leeds.
And so you've kind of hit that pinnacle at you know, early on in your career, but do you have other roles in mind, like, for later on?
Yeah, there's probably quite a few roles I'd love to play. A lot of the generic ones. I'm desperate to do Les Mis at some point, whether that means waiting until I'm a lot older and being Madame Thénardier, or getting to do it in the near future and playing Fantine would be amazing.
Yeah.
I've got a question for Alice and Laura, actually. I think both Elphaba and
sing
then...
off, sing off, sing off.
No, thank you.
But both characters that you play in your musicals, obviously they're both got big sings in them as well. You know, the song in Come From Away is a massive song, and obviously Elphaba is a massive part. Is it being in lockdown, is it quite nice to be able to have that kind of freedom? Because I don't know, do you restrict yourself kind of drinking and going out and things like that to sustain the parts? Is it nice to kind of have that a bit more time?
That's the question.
Well, I think for me, see, Laura's a lot younger than me, you see, and my voice is better the more I do it.
Right.
So I'm better during it. Like, as soon as I came back off holiday, I mean, Laura, remember, I'll come back off holiday and I'll be like, oh my God, this week is horrendous. I'm going off again. Because I would rather just be doing it in bowing all eight with So for me, that show, I had to be really good. I mean, it was no going out and it was 10-hour naps, you know, a night. It wasn't, if I didn't have enough sleep, my voice would just die on me. I'd have to say, Come From Away, although it's Me in the Sky, is extraordinary song and is quite hard to do after you've done Elphaba. Nothing is hard.
Yeah, so in comparison, it's probably...
In comparison, it feels like, you know, I won't swear, but it feels a piece of... easiness.
Laura, presumably you have to be fairly saint-like to sustain the vocal cords in terms of going out and staying up late.
It depends Stuart will laugh because I'm not an angel, and Alice will probably remember from even when I was standby. I like a wine.
Yorkshire laugh, so you can handle it, can't you?
Generally running up to a holiday, if I know I've got a holiday coming up, I'll be a bit more casual about it.
Yeah.
But I'm just getting the work-life balance was important for me. And I was, because being standby is so different, especially when you're standby to Alice and who's rarely up and off.
I was going to say, did you get to go on very much as standby?
No, not really.
Did you resent her a little bit for that?
I've never forgiven her, actually. Such a machine. But yeah, it was different. And then, you know, over time, I built it up and I built up the stamina. I remember texting Alice after my first stage show week saying, I don't know how you do it. I honestly thought I was going to die. But now it's just, well, I doubt it will be when I go back.
Hopefully that won't be
stamina up again.
That won't be too long. Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.
Okay, let's move on and talk to your colleagues who are very patiently and graciously waiting for us to chat to them. So, Jenna Boyd, you are also in the wonderful Come From Away. Thank you so much for joining us.
No worries. Please say you can hear me.
We can.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, loud and clear.
Perfect.
You're coming through loud and clear. And tell us about your journey into Come From Away. Chris and I don't know you. We kind of know some of our guests well, but we don't know you really at all. So tell us how you found yourself in Come From Away. You've been in it since the show opened, haven't you?
I have, yeah. I was in the first cast the first year. Going slightly further back, it was by April 2019, I think I auditioned, and I had just not got Madame Thénardier. I did the show a few years ago with Alice, and I had not had any involvement with Les Mis since then, and I had for the first time been seen for the role of Madame Thénardier, which I was second cover for a couple of years before. And I hadn't got it, and I was on my sofa eating, that, you know, that biscotti paste out of a jar, crying.
Cope with the rejection.
Like, literally shoveling it. And my agent called me, I think for two reasons. One, to tell me I had an audition, also to check that I was okay. And she said,
to check you had enough biscotti paste.
Yeah, and that I was at least still eating it, because when I'd spoke to her before, I was... like no words, just squeaking. And she said, you've got this audition. And I remember telling my fiance at the time, I was like, yeah, I've got an audition for like this Come Far Away From Home, Home and Away, something, the musical, I don't know. I'd never heard of it. Anyway, I went through first round, they sent me the stuff, you know, and you progress and progress and progress. I had my final audition 9 long, long, long weeks later. I got a phone call to say that I had got it. And I received that phone call in Salisbury. I was doing a play there and I was in, like, it's called Prezzo, isn't it? I got 50% off and I was in there having lunch. And the table next to me obviously thought something awful had happened because I was like, what? And sobbed. Apparently that's what I do on the phone to my agent. And then I put the phone down and then I called her back to check that she wasn't joking or I hadn't hallucinated. When she said, no, you've got the part. And at the time I'd read for 3 different roles. So I thought I was up for a standby, of which I would have absolutely bitten their hand off for and would have loved to do. But this was really, for me, the first time I feel I'd ever had a part, because I'd been...
Of your own.
Yeah, of my own. I'd done featured, absolutely featured ensemble, yeah. And I've loved all the work that I have done, but I've very much been featured ensemble cover for quite a long time. I mean, I've been doing... obviously, I started when I was like 2, but I've been in the business for 20 years now. So, for me, it's been a long time coming. And finally, for someone to go, yeah... You can do it in your own right.
It feels like the part was made for you, really. Mm.
But yeah, so that's been my journey, and obviously we're still doing it now. And then the original cast were amazing, but the new cast are absolutely brilliant. And we only had 5 weeks with them.
Oh, that's,
and I'm really sad because we were really excited.
Yeah. Let's talk to Stuart McIver because he's been so patient. Thank you, Stuart.
Hello, that's all right. That's a nice lesson to everyone, actually.
Yeah, it's fascinating to hear everyone's perspective. And I guess your perspective is different because you do multiple roles in Wicked.
Yeah.
Alongside Laura.
Who's, so I joined just after Alice left, so I don't actually know her. Hi, Alice. but I actually think I beat Laura and Alice with my longevity to the show, because I actually joined it in 2016, which would make 4 years.
Wow. Well, that was actually one of my questions for you, Stu, because obviously you did the tour, didn't you, and then you went into town.
I've done 2 tours. So the original one I got in 2016, which just seems forever ago, was the international tour, which was supposed to be 18 months, and then it ended up being a year. And then we had a little gap, and then I started the UK tour, which was just over a year. That was about 14 months, I think. And then I had a little gap of about 5 months, I think, and then I joined town.
How do the productions differ? Are they all exactly the same, being in each one, or is there slight variations
To be honest, it's very similar. The only, which is incredible, because the amount of set that Wicked has is unreal. There's loads of amazing big bits to it. And because the tour was quite a substantial tour, it sat in each venue for a long time, so they were able to bring most of the set. Mm-hmm. The only things we didn't have were... Like when you watch it in London, it's got like big towers up the side. And I think that's all we didn't have. That plus one of the flying bridges, everything else we had, which was quite cool. Yeah, it's almost identical. There's just a couple of extra people in London to fill out the stage. So it's a bit bigger show.
And so your role is Swing. Are you covering multiple parts? You cover Dr. Dillerman, right?
Yes. So I did.
What's that like?
Well... Well, I'm 32. I had to think about that there. Nice. When I auditioned for the show, I was 28. And I remember auditioning. I auditioned for it at a drama school. And I, think I'm your classic, handsome, Fierro-esque lad.
Obviously.
And I auditioned when I was right out of drama school, 2010. And did some Fierro stuff and then got cut. And I was like, okay, fair enough. And then I auditioned for the show again in 2016 and did my first round. Then they phoned me and said, are you interested in covering Dillamond and the Wizard? And I was like, oh, a bit insulting, but cool, okay. But then I actually thought, like, God, this is a little bit of a skive because there's no worry about my voice. Like, I don't have to sing anything crazy. It's just lovely acting roles. And that's another thing about Tour, actually, because it was one actor that plays both parts, whereas in town it's 2 actors, so I now don't cover the Wizard, which is slightly easier.
And are you on stage, Swing, or off? Like, do you have your own track, or are you off stage?
No, off stage, but I'm kind of on all the time, which is nice, keeps me busy. Game of
Shows. So there we are, Lawrence. As you said, you wait around for one Elphaba and 2 come along at once.
And they're both great. And it's interesting, they're kind of really different, aren't they? As they don't look alike, they don't sound alike. They don't. I mean, obviously, they're both great, talented performers. But it's interesting to see two different
perspectives on the same part and how they came to play the part and their journeys. And I like, actually, that you've got like the succession obviously they put their own spin
I think
on the part.
Alice had been the cover as well prior to taking on the role, hadn't she? That's great that they do promote from within.
It is great that they do that because they don't always do that in shows. You know, sometimes they recast completely, even if you've been covering the parts and stuff. So I think it's nice to kind of give the people who are covering them parts and playing them just as much as the person Absolutely. Who has the part. It doesn't mean that they're no less talented. I think this is a misconception. I'm going to just get on my little high horse now. A misconception, you know, for some people that if you're a swing or you're a cover or a standby, it means that you weren't necessarily good enough to play the part. But actually, it means you're more versatile because you can cover a range of parts as well as playing that lead part on stage.
And the swing as well. I mean, especially the, if you remember when we spoke to Jay and Aaron, who are swings in Hamilton. The roles that they cover.
Massive.
And similar for Stuart. You have to be the most talented person in the room, really, don't you? Or most hardworking person in the room, and most able person to go on and play any of those parts.
So, what did you think about the competition tonight, then?
Well, yeah, it was pretty much neck and neck, wasn't it? I think did Wicked manage to get the lead at one point? Did they hop into?
Do you know what
the lead
they didn't? They didn't.
No, they were playing catch up.
They were just behind every time. Yeah, they got up to 1 point in it though. They did get 1 point round six. They got 32 to 33, so it was close. Yeah.
So I thought maybe they would just pip them, but that Alice and Jenna were probably just a little bit more confident when it counted when the time came in. But it's also, it's the luck of the draw, isn't it?
It totally is.
And that's totally why I thought, you know, this idea of the name as many as you can round to give them to pick a category so that there was no kind of, I always feel guilty if one side of it seems a little bit easier than the other. But if you're randomly picking categories, then there's no danger of that. But even the quick fire questions, it's luck of the draw. You either know them or you don't.
Yeah.
I think they're getting too easy. I think we need to make them harder.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
I think maybe we should open this up to our listeners. If you're going to write a review or write to us on our Instagram page or our Twitter, maybe let us know. What do you think of our questions? Are they too easy or too hard?
I think it's too easy. And we should make it harder and embarrass everybody. And then, no, hang on a minute. That won't encourage people to come on the show, will it?
Yeah, no, no one will want to come. And I just want to bring up one last little thing, actually, to you.
Do it.
So our...
am I in trouble?
The clever idea you had at episode one to name each round to do with shows. Yes. So to combine the two.
This rod I made for my own back. Because once you this sort of Lawrence thing, once you start, you kind of got to keep doing it, haven't you?
Yeah.
And it's worked really well. I've enjoyed it very much. It's been great fun. And then suddenly I came up against Come From Away tonight, where people don't know the names of the songs because Come From Away is kind of one long song in a way. The songs merge, they roll into each other. It's kind of episodic, telling different moments from a kind of a continuous story. You almost don't know when one song ends, another song begins. There's a couple of standout numbers in there. That we were talking about with Alice. But in general, it's not really about what song are you on. And so we didn't have that. And last week we had kind of catchphrases and great famous things from Lovely Jubbly, Fools and Horses. Yeah. The week when we had...
Six and Hamilton was a good one.
And Hamilton, that was a gift of just mashing up song titles. And, for Sixpence, no, what was it? Mary Poppins.
Poppins and Les Mis. But that was the first one, so we had no...
Step in time, don't look him in the eye, you know. So it was quite easy. And so this week, maybe, you win some, you lose some. I tried. You're not without guilt, mate. We sat there and did some together.
Well, I was just about to say, what was nice when we first started this, 4 or 5 weeks ago, when you said, I've come up with this idea and I'm going to do this. And I said, yep, that's fine. You do that. And then the last 2 weeks, there's been a little call before. Can you just give me a hand? And now I feel like I'm part of it and you're bringing me into it.
I can't name the rounds, Chris. And you're complicit. You're as guilty as me.
I know.
So shit. Then it's your fault too. But I have to say, 38 planes, one broomstick. That's pretty good.
I like them. I think they're fun.
And
no
one mourns the codfish.
Even if they're not that good, they still get a little laugh from the cast.
So do you think we keep it in then? We have to see it through to the end of season one.
Season one.
Well, and then we can relook at
the whole format.
Yeah, relook at the whole format. Absolutely, I can't wait because we've got about 10 other rounds that we had planned from the start that we haven't done yet. So yeah. We can definitely tweak the format because I can't stand repetition.
Yeah, he can't stand it, listeners. Yet we do the same every week. Do you know what I was going to do? I was just going to quickly, before we have to finish, we received a message I was going to read it out. So we've been asking our listeners to follow us on Instagram, which is Game of Shows Quiz, and also to follow us on Twitter, which is shows_quiz, and asking them, you know, to send a message and any feedback they have. And we have been receiving some messages, Lawrence.
Fantastic. Any marriage proposals in there?
Not yet, unfortunately not.
What is the point of doing a podcast if you don't get crazy stalker fans? Come on, people.
I know, I thought they'd love my northern dulcet tones. But we did get a message from SG.
Okay.
Is her name on Instagram. She said, "Hey, how are you? Just messaging to say that I loved your Six versus Hamilton quiz. It was great crack." She's from Ireland.
Oh, okay. Great crack.
And she thought it was really funny and that she loved it because she thought it had a great mix of questions. Like she could answer some and others she was like, "What? ? So there's our question, our answer actually. So some were easy, some were hard. And that's good actually. I'm glad we've read this out.
Yes, absolutely. And I've had guilt when we've asked questions that people have gone, "Oh God, why did you ask me that? It's so unfair." I've kind of felt really bad. But I think also that is part of the fun of it. I mean, if everybody can just answer everything, then...
Yeah, there'd be no competition, would they? It has to have an element of...
There has to be an element of it. But also we kind of have to appreciate that maybe not everyone is quite as musical theatre geeks as we are. I know that wasn't very good English. As what you and I is.
Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like the Fiorello question. I knew he wouldn't know the answer, but I thought it was a good one to guess because actually I think you would... I thought you would guess New York as the first.
But then what we're forgetting is, as much as we're trying to test our contestants, the listeners, they hopefully are like hardcore musical theatre fans. So for them,
it's all about the listeners. Yeah, it's all about the listeners.
So thank you, SG, for that message.
Thank you, SG. Is it SG as in initials, SG?
Yeah, SG and a sunflower. So if that's you, if you're listening, there you are. We've read it out. And we've had some lovely reviews on... the Apple Podcast app as well. I'm just going to read one of them out. This is from Mr. Mulgrave. And he said, "Well, if you love musicals and love quizzing, then this is a fantastic podcast. Just listen to Hamilton versus Six. Great guest from the West End. You get to know a little bit more about the actors. It's a must listen." I think that's a great little review.
I wholeheartedly agree with him there. With Mr. Mulgrave there. absolutely. No, it's very true. So just tell us the Instagram handle again, Chris.
So follow us on Instagram, Game of Shows Quiz, and on Twitter, shows_quiz.
So you can find us on iTunes and Spotify and whatever is your preferred podcast provider.
Yeah, and make sure you do follow us on social media because we will be posting... maybe spoilers for the next episode and features from this episode, little behind the scenes footage and some backstage pictures and videos for you to like.
Okay, that's great. Thank you, Chris. Thanks everybody for listening. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. See you next time on Game of Shows.
Game of Shows.
Game of Shows.
Don't put that in. Well, you can put it at the end, I suppose.
12 women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.